Hello, swimmers, and welcome back to the pool party. It's been a damn long minute since we last talked, so I'm so stoked to be able to share with you today a podcast episode that I recorded in December with India. India is an art director, graphic designer living in New York City. She graduated from Parsons School of Design and has a background in computer science. She is an all-around creative who follows her intuition, loves Pilates, and previously interned with Rick Owens. So I'm stoked to bring you this conversation with India. And before we dive in, I want to give you a little personal update. But since it's been a minute, I do want to give you a life update. I think especially after listening to this episode, I've decided to go to New York and I've planned my own trip. So as of right now, I'm planning on being in New York City, crashing in Brooklyn from March 26th to early April. I don't have a date yet when I'm coming back to Boise, but I will be. At the moment, I am leaning on friends, other artists and creatives who want to do a design tour, network, and essentially explore the joy of the city without really having to move and live there for a long period of time. So that's where I'm at right now. I am going through changes in work at the moment and really trying to find joy in my work, cut out the things that are seriously sucking my energy. And it's not always easy. I have to taper these things out. I have to DJ my life. And so that's something I've been thinking about, and editing these podcasts and listening to India just reinforced how important this is for me. So I hope you enjoy listening today. And if you have any suggestions or comments on the podcast, please let me know. I'm going to start posting these on Substack as well. So if you would like to follow me on Substack, you absolutely can. My Substack is available in the bio. And you can also find me with my username at Jules Pools, JulesPools. And of course, if you're looking for design, art, for your business as an artist, creative, designer, writer, podcaster, etc., you can find my work at juliaespero.me, JulieaEspero.me. Okay, let's dive in today's episode. Welcome to the pool party. I'm so excited to have India on today. She is an art director. And India, I would love for you to tell me a little bit about your background and what got you into art direction.
Hi, Jules. Thanks for having me. I started at the beginning of this year, January 2024, to freelance. Mm-hmm. I have a background in fashion marketing. I studied an associate's degree at Parsons School of Design in New York. That's what brought me to New York, and I'm now currently living in New York. I wanted to go into more like art direction and creative direction for fashion brands or fashion campaigns. But then when I was looking for a job, other opportunities popped up and I started doing way more graphic design, which is something that I've always been interested in, especially layout design. But life takes you unexpected ways. Mm-hmm. And now I find myself doing so much branding and brand image. In between graphic design and art direction, I also love to curate the brand image in terms of art direction. Now I'm figuring out where I want to go from here. I don't think I want to be in graphic design for a long time. I think I'm leaning more into the art direction field.
I was looking at the work you did for I Love Pilates. So tell me a little bit about that branding and the brand overall and how you got involved with this Pilates studio.
It was like a project that I did, like literally finished 2 weeks ago. And it's one of the projects I'm most proud of. So for reference, for the audience, branding, so I did like logo, the whole look and feel, typography and colors for this Pilates studio that is going to open in Rome in 2025. The girl who founded Isla Pilates, I met her in New York inside a club. We initially connected because she was working in a company that I wanted to work in. She moved back to Rome and called me because she wanted to open a Pilates studio. The whole idea was that she went back to Rome and there was no Pilates studio like the ones in New York. She's like, I want to build something that is cooler and it has the luxury experience that we have in New York. I want to build a community and bring all those things that a New York Pilates studio has to Rome. I was really excited about the project. This is my first project in Italy. It was big for me. I've been working mostly with clients based in New York. When I get passionate about something, it's so easy to get ideas out. I have my whole archive of photos and moods. I selected a specific mood and put it together. The whole part of the branding is this dot system because I found this dotted font on Adobe. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is so cool. And I can create a whole language with these dots. And so that's like the overarching theme. And then with the founder, she was like, okay, I want a very elegant font to go with it. So then it's a play of putting all those pieces together and make it work with the mood and the dots and the elegance and give that feeling that she wants it to be luxury, modern, and something completely new to Rome.
Mm-hmm. Which club did you meet at?
It's called Outer Heaven, and it's in downtown Manhattan. It opened 2 years ago. Oh, it's a very small club.
I've never been before. I used to live in Brooklyn and around Manhattan, but I haven't been back to New York in 2 years, so Outer Heaven is, that's good to know.
That's the thing about New York, it changes so much every year. I want to ask you about your experience in New York, because I know that you lived here.
I did some internships in New York prior to the pandemic. I think 2016 was the first year I was in New York. I could get a room in Soho for $700, and it was insane. I lived above, I think it's called the Grey Dog, in Soho. It was really lovely. I would go to hot yoga and hot Pilates in the Lower East Side like every day, and then just go to galleries. I was interning at this nonprofit called Storefront for Art and Architecture, this little pizza slice gallery in Soho, but they do these really cool architecture activations. A lot of the people I worked with were European postgrads. I think they just wanted to spend the summer in New York. They were fun to hang around, and they were always late to work. Yeah, and then I lived in Bushwick one summer, which was probably like 2017. That was a great experience too. I just went out a lot elsewhere. Some of the typical suspects. And there's like some warehouse clubs too. I would meet people on Tinder back then, and they would just tell me to like some random address, and then there was a band playing or something. So that was kind of fun.
I love that. Yeah, New York, I feel like everybody tells me I came here after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I never really got to see it before. And everybody tells me it was so different, and the city has changed a lot, but I wouldn't know. I came here in 2022.
I want to know, where do you meet people these days for work, outside of work? What is there to do?
Right now, life in New York and mm-hmm. my routine has changed a lot since I first arrived here. Right now, I go to this yoga studio every day, which mm-hmm. is called Sky Tank. I've been going there since I arrived because I knew them from before, and I was doing their online platform before. And when I moved to New York, I was so happy to go in person. And I'm really big on yoga. I mm-hmm. just do it every day. I go there every day, and it's such an incredible community. I know the teachers, I know other members, and a lot of my clients I got through Sky Tank, just from talking to people and being connected to other people. And then this yoga studio, there's a lot of creatives that go there. So sometimes it's they need to connect to another creative. For example, one time I connected with this girl that did the website for Sky Tank that I really admired. She has a creative agency, and I DM'd her on Instagram, and I was like, hey, I know you did the Sky Tank website. Do you want to come to a class with me and then get a coffee? And that's literally what we did. And then she connected me to other people. So,
so good.
For me, that space has been incredible. And from thing, another thing gets born, and it just never ends. That's one place where I meet a lot of people. Then I have, my brother lives in the city as well, and he's mm-hmm. super, super social. He introduced me to a lot of people when I first arrived to New York. So that's like another whole community, which is more European, that I get to meet. That's the amazing thing about Instagram, is that we're all so connected and we all know what each other does. And the crazy thing is, when you go to a profile of someone you want to text and you see all the other people that are linked to them, it's so easy to text one of these people and be like, hey, I know you know him. Can you like hook me up? For work, especially, I do that a lot, like on Instagram, email. I try to network with a lot of people I admire.
People don't get about networking is that it should feel fun. And it's also mm-hmm. nice to do it through people you know already. It's not like you have to be on LinkedIn and talking to a void or something, which you could do, but I think sometimes it doesn't land very well.
I don't really use LinkedIn, and I think in the creative field, Instagram is what has worked for me the most. And also emails. You go on a website of someone, and I literally did it 2 weeks ago. This guy did this branding project that I loved. He's Australian, like completely different world. And I wrote to him. I was like, your project is just incredible. It was the best start of my morning. And he replied. I asked him, I would love to talk to you because motion design is something I want to get into. He was so happy about it. And I was like, I'm so happy it resonates. Let's find some time to chat. We're humans and we're meant to connect. It doesn't have to be so scary.
I'm looking at Skyting, their website too. I really love it. Who's a creative director of this website?
Like the creative direction of Skyting, I think it's more from the founder, and then the website was developed by Human New York City, which is this creative agency specialized in web development, and the founder Rachel, she's the most kind human being ever.
So nice.
She connected me with other creatives and people in her team, and it's just so kind.
Is your brother Luigi?
Yeah, and I texted him.
Yeah, we were the same class at Stanford. I was in New York. I was actually, I think we went out, like a big group of us. But I definitely have hung out actually at his apartment while he was DJing. So that's so fun.
So random. I texted him this morning, like a Jules. I think she she was here in Stanford. And yeah, and he was like, yeah, I remember her, but he's not here right now.
Tell me about some of your favorite work experiences, because I saw that you did an internship at Rick Owens. I feel like that is like a dream for some people. How was that?
Yeah, that was the best time ever. At that time, I was in university. I was in Milan. I did my bachelor in business, economics, and computer science. And my last year of uni, I was like, I hate this. I'm going to finish this because I cannot finish something. But I was like, this is a lot. And I didn't love my class, and it was just like not my ideal environment. So I was like, I want to work and study on my own and just take my exams. I really pushed for that. And so my last year of uni, I tried to look for an internship to do full time. Mm-hmm. And I always loved the fashion world. And through my father that was working in the fashion world, I managed to get an interview with the Rick Owens shop in Milan. Amazing. Where they had e-commerce as well. Like in the Milan store, they have the retail store, and then they would have the e-commerce in the office behind and the shooting. And I had an interview, and it was just the perfect timing where they were looking for someone to help out as extra hand, like pure internship, like whatever needed to get done, I was going to do it. And it was the best I've ever. Like, I would wake up in the morning and go there at 10, and you had to be dressed fully Rick Owens, which is, it was one of my favorite brands since I was a kid, because my father used to have a shop, like a women's wear shop, and he used to sell Rick Owens. So I was like in love with Rick Owens since I was 8. And yeah, it was really a dream come true. I was doing a lot of back-end e-commerce, using my computer science skills and coding for updating their supplies. But then I would also do some retail in store, because it's a luxury experience when you go to a Rick Owens store. So they need to have one sales assistant per customer that comes in. So sometimes we would run out of people and I would have to be a sales assistant. And it was super flexible and fun. And the people in there are always so eclectic. And yeah, I loved it.
One thing I love that you mentioned is that you did not start out in fashion or graphic design at all. So you went in to your education studying computer science, and you just realized it wasn't for you. Is that basically what happened?
Yeah, I think it was a slow process. Mm-hmm. When I was finishing my bachelor in computer science, the first 6 months of my last year, I did the internship at Rick Owens. And then the second part of the year, I did an exchange program and I went to Australia with the school. Mm-hmm. And I had to pick courses, of course, that would fulfill my remaining credits in computer science or business. And then I had a bunch of credits that were choose what you want and like an elective. And so I picked like this visual communication design class, and I had to sell it to the university like, oh, this can be part of like my marketing side of my degree. But they accepted it. So I ended up doing this very creative course in Australia, which was part of the art school, completely unrelated from my bachelor and what I was studying. Mm-hmm. And that's when I fell in love with graphic design. And it was this specific project of like layout design, so designing magazine, that made me think, wait, I can actually do this as a job. I would always collect and read magazines, especially fashion or lifestyle magazines. And I never thought about who's behind this, who's actually putting all these elements together, the text, the pictures, and deciding how it comes out. And that was the first time that I was like, oh, wait, like this is a job. But then when I came back from Australia, I took some gap months and I was traveling so much. And then I came back to Europe and I was looking for a job in the fashion. So I'm trying to pivot in marketing, but fashion industry. And I didn't find anything. And then this opportunity came up in a consulting firm and I was going to do marketing. And I was like, okay, that's close enough to what mm-hmm. I want to do. And I feel like the opportunity was so good. They were going to put me in a very good position. It was not an internship. I would start a proper full-time job and I was going to fill up this role that this lady that went on maternity leave. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't say no to this. This mm-hmm. is a great opportunity. So I started doing that, even if it wasn't fashion, even if it wasn't creative, and COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And I was in that job for 2 years and a half. And I think it was the best case scenario. I learned so much and it was more of a corporate environment, even if it was a boutique agency. I learned so much about marketing and then ended up doing some computer science stuff and customer relationship management and Salesforce. I went back to the computer science things. And then after 2 years and a half, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah. And it's nice because you don't ever lose your skills and sometimes they come in handy. I think sometimes people think you have to really follow through with what you choose to study as an undergrad. There's really more options for getting more education like you yeah. did, or asking your program to allow you to take another course and count it. Coming from the Bay Area tech scene, so many people are dead set on going into tech or consulting. Mm. And for me, after school, I was like, I'm going to try doing this like graphic design boot camp in New York. That was really healing for me because it was just so totally different. So many more people were like, oh, like why would I want to do tech or whatever, like I want to do like traditional print or advertising. And then sometimes there's like ways of doing social media that's like a little bit of both, and you can bring in like that coding computer science side. And you know what's funny too is when I was at Stanford, a lot of people also sometimes they would want to take like graphic design or computer science classes, but it was hard to find hands-on projects that like really married both of them together. So I think when I see someone with your background, it's really fun and encouraging because you found so many cool fashion gigs through your network and made all your skills apply.
When I finished my job at the consulting firm, mm-hmm. I was trying to get into a fashion firm doing what I was doing it before, but I was trying a sort of formula to pivot. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to go back to school and do something I really loved. And then I wanted to move to New York because my brother was here and I saw it and I was like, wait, this is where I have to be. And like putting all those things together, I ended up applying to Parsons. And for me, the way that I got into the creative field was actually like, okay, I have a very strong scientific business background. Let me pair it with something extremely creative. Mm-hmm. Parsons was only project-based, only like producing, like being creative, which is really hard from someone that is coming from a completely different background. And mm-hmm. now I feel like I'm equipped with these two things. And I'm honestly just working on like the creative side. And yeah. I think it's going to be fun at one point, like to try to see, okay, like how do I put these two things together? And I don't know. I had ideas before, like maybe coding websites could be a very cool thing.
I had a similar thought recently because, yeah, I went from doing a lot of theory, a lot of hard science or even social science at times, to then going into graphic design or art direction. It's essentially like a trade. And I don't think a lot of people think about it that way, but there's a process to it. It's very much like project based, like deadline oriented. And I just thought that like the people I went to school with, would oftentimes think about art as really free-flowing. Mm. Realistically, when you're in the industry, it cannot be like that. Yeah. You will not survive in a project-based environment. But I'm also seeing now, so over the past few years, a lot of fashion tech. And I've seen a few folks trying to start fashion tech companies. And I also saw that you have this fashion and Web3 project on your website. I want to hear your thoughts on Web3 and fashion and maybe a little bit more about this project as well.
Yeah, I feel like it goes in waves, right? I feel like there was a surge in fashion tech. Coperni did this tool. Now I don't even remember, but they tried to introduce this. I don't even remember what it was. It looks like an iPod. I think that goes in surges, and even fashion and Web3. It was big a year and a half ago where fashion brands would create costumes for video games and Web3. Everybody was talking about blockchain, and like they would put their products on the blockchain as like certificate on authenticity and all these things. And now it's died, right? Nobody's really talking about it. I don't know when that's gonna happen or if it's ever gonna happen. Fashion is such a creative outlet for people, and you don't want it to be complicated. People are really scared about technology, and it takes so long to accept a new technology for a whole community to accept these changes. And fashion is such a pleasure, or like it's such a, oh, let me put on this because this is the image that I want to give to other people. And you don't want to put too much thought in it. And fashion and Web3, my project that I did was more like, I want to see, because I thought maybe that's how I'm going to put these two things together, like computer science and fashion. Maybe that's the space I need to go to. So I didn't know. And it was a very fun project. When I had to present it, everybody was like, question marks brought on their faces because they're like, what is Web3?
Oh, I see. And was this in a fashion context?
Yeah, it was in my class. I had to present it, and everybody was like, what the hell? Like, that was exactly the point. Like, for me, it was like, I want to explain Web3 to fashion people and how you can use it for fashion. So literally the first chapter of that's like a 50 pages book, by the way. It was like a huge project.
Nice work. That's not an easy feat.
But I had, it was so interesting, right? When something is interesting, it's so easy to just like dig deeper. And I think there's so many spaces where Web3 can be cool for fashion. And I think Nike is doing that so much. There's Nike Virtual Studios. They're they're ever evolving to see what works, what resonates. And they have this immense budget to do that. And it's like a playground, and they're testing so many things like, oh, let's see how it works on video games, or let's see how we can build a community with a blockchain app, or have VIP products for our members that connect their wallets to our app. I think if there's someone that is gonna maybe come out with a nice solution or something that resonates with the public, it's maybe gonna be Nike. But right now, I feel like nobody really cares.
I know, like it's so hard. To your point, fashion is so fun. And even for me lately in my art practice, I'm just trying to find more joy. Because I got really deep into Web3 as well over the past few years. And there is very little excitement these days, I think. I just took on a commission with a DAO, which is like the first project I've done in 2 years that gives me a little bit of hope. But it's just like a creative project for a zine to compile some of the work that their artists have been doing. Yeah, so I'm like, okay, I love that. But again, the budget is not huge for it. There's a lot of these little underground things happening. I don't know if it's exactly going to be the groundbreaking innovation that a lot of people have been saying. Maybe it just takes several years. And on a personal level, I just want to have a giggle sometimes.
Yeah, the overarching idea of Web3 is what I am attracted to. In terms of creatives, they're trying to give back real ownership to what you put out there. So in the Web3 environment, whatever I post, it's going to have a timestamp. So whatever I post, then it's going to have that attached to it, my credentials. And then nowadays, it's like when you use Pinterest or Instagram, there's so much that gets screenshotted and reposted without crediting the original owner. That's what Web3 is trying to fix, because on Web3, that's not going to be possible, ideally. Now, that I don't know if in practice is already a thing, but I think there's so many concepts about that Web3 which are so good, especially for creatives, and trying to give back like the rights to creatives that are not ever credited enough, right? I feel like you never really know who's behind a certain project. So many times, especially online,
you can so easily rip a JPEG from Pinterest and post it, but you don't have the chain of who made it.
Exactly.
And that's important.
And so many times I go on websites and I'm like, oh, who made this website? A lot of times it's not even credited, or I'm like, I look at a campaign, I was like, oh, who's the photographer? Who's the model? They're never tagged in any picture. And I'm like, they're just the image that's made of them. Yes. Yeah. It's like literally they're making this image in your brand, and for you to not credit them, it's so weird. So I think that we need more of that philosophy where giving back the light to creatives and who's actually behind a certain project.
In your ideal world, what kind of projects would you take on next, and what would you contribute to them?
That's a very interesting question, because I feel like I've been so lucky to constantly have projects that I never really sat down and asked myself this question. Mm-hmm. I think I'm trying to maybe do more art direction rather than graphic design. I feel like at some point I want to collaborate with other people. Maybe my ideal next project would be actually with someone else, because I find myself working alone most of the time. I do collaborate with founders, because most of my clients are small entrepreneurs. I present ideas and they give me feedback and we go from there. It's a very collaborative approach, but I never really worked with another creative. Like, yeah, maybe I give a design and they twitch and then they give it back to me, or someone that I do the art direction and they do the graphic design. So I think my ideal next project is find a way to have more of a team of creatives to work with and see how that works.
I'd be down to collab if you ever want.
That's a great thing about meeting so many people in this field, right? I'm thinking about having a bit of a team around me, so that when I have a project and like you do illustration and I love your illustrations, you can't draw at all. Some projects, I'm like, I wish I had an illustrator to make an illustration that evokes this feeling, or I'm thinking of a logo that is hand-drawn. For me, it's really hard to do it and I would commission it or work with someone else. Yeah, that's probably the next thing I want to do.
One of the things you mentioned is working alone. I freelance, but I also am at an independent studio a few days out of the week, just because it's been such a nice switch up. What do you do when you're working on projects? Do you stay in the apartment? Do you go to a co-working space? What works for you?
I do a mix. Uh-huh. I usually do half day in my apartment and half day. I can't do the whole day at home, because home is where I eat and sleep. I don't want it to be my office that much. Now I'm so used to working alone that I'm maybe scared to have other people around me that are going to distract me, because I got That's so used to it. But I feel like I currently don't know good co-working, and none of my friends ever told me about a good co-working space. Everybody that I know that is working from home is actually working from home. I wish like maybe Soho House was more of a real community where you can actually connect with people. I feel like I never really talked to anyone there.
I was gonna ask you if you like it, because I hear mixed reviews about Soho House these days. People are like, oh, it's so different.
Exactly. Like, for working, it's an amazing space. It's beautiful inside and you have great Wi-Fi and you can order food. I concentrate so much when I go there, because I just sit with my computer and stay there hours. I just wish maybe more like people were more open to knowing other people. I don't know how you can make that happen so that people are more eager to actually talk to each other. I also don't go a lot, like I never go to the events, so maybe that's me not getting so involved. That was how Soho House was born, right? It was like a place for creatives. I don't think that's it anymore.
I think there's some independent co-working spaces in New York. I hear a lot about those in LA too. I feel like we're also like in this weird period where I think some people are still stuck in like 2020 work from home land, and then there are other people who go out to events, but then it's like maybe a third of the people who used to, so it's still not quite popping.
This is something I wanted to ask you. How do you find working independently versus working in an agency? What are the differences? Was it for you?
It's so nice to have freedom with what projects you take on as an independent. And there was a period during 2020 where I was freelancing with an agency, which is great because it gave me a steady stream of projects, my hourly rate. Back then, it was like 60 an hour as well. But then I would also take on projects that the agency just wouldn't give me because I was working with a social media agency that did like a lot of celebrity Instagram content creation. And I was like, oh, I want to do some branding and like logos. So I had to do that on my own if I really wanted to go very deep into a brand book. I think juggling both of that was challenging. And so I eventually left the agency and pursued my own work. And this is the challenging part because during this time, I also moved to Maui for 3 years. So I was like in Hawaii working independently. At that time, one of my struggles was working on my own is totally fine. But doing it from an island in a not creative space. New York is so different. You can go out and find a ton of creatives and get inspiration. But for me, a lot of the people who would be working from home if I went to a coffee shop were like in the tech industry or like 20 years older. I ended up eventually coming back to the mainland because it's actually just so many more people my age group who are at this phase in their life. And I felt like I needed more camaraderie around that. But I think there are ways to get community outside of working at an agency because agencies are so fast-paced. And I don't know what the industry is right now because I'm at an independent studio. So it's like just the right amount of work for me, 3 days a week. And I get to work on a lot of different projects too, like branding, or at the moment, I'm also helping my boss set up a podcast and a quarterly zine where we work with local artists and then bring them in the studio and do a pop-up. So it's a lot more interactive and I love that because I'm a very social person. I guess the other part I learned too is that some of these soft skills like talking to people, throwing events, it's not a very common skill to have. I just don't think I could do work from home corporate environment again. I've thought about it many times. There's a trade-off where you get a certain amount of stability and benefits, but then it's not like that job is secure. There's just so much more freedom in choosing your own project. It's harder for sure. And also might be harder because of where I'm at right now. I live in Boise, Idaho, so I have to go out and seek projects. It's not quite as easy as I think it would be in New York. But that is one of my hurdles and something that I like that trade-off.
I never really thought about the location of everything. Maybe here in New York is easier because yeah, a lot of my clients are word of mouth. They go somewhere and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a graphic designer. And they remember that.
They
Either
do,
a friend of theirs would connect me or they would be like, actually, I have this project I'm working on that you could help me with. So yeah, I never really thought about the location and maybe that changes the way you want to work if you want to work at an agency or you don't.
I think traveling for work is essential if you're freelancing. Because I've also had friends who would travel all the time, like New York to LA, and sometimes going out to Colorado for concert projects. If you're just talking to people and letting them know what you do, that also works. Maybe I should plan a trip to New York at some point.
Most type thing.
Yeah, I know. I haven't been back in so long. I've been in Boise, Idaho since July. And I was in LA before that. LA is also not the best right now. A lot of people are struggling in the industry, but people are still doing well. I have friends who have studio jobs. The enthusiasm is a little bit low. Here in New York, it's great.
A lot of people are going with the freelancing route, which is exciting. There's a surge in being independent, being your own publisher, being your own boss, like even Substack, it's such a call for being completely independent. And you don't want to publish me, I'll publish myself on Substack when it goes well. And of that, people just publish whatever they're thinking about and make their own mini magazine. That's great. That's incredible. And it's the same way of being a freelancer. I think at some point I do want to work at an agency. Because I want to have that experience. I want to know what it feels like, what it looks like. I want to learn from other people.
It gets you a lot of exposure to big clients very quickly. I think agencies are previously a little bit too demanding of people's time, but I'm hoping that with the changes over the past 2 years, they'll be a little bit more realistic. I heard stories from people pre-2020 who would work at an agency and make maybe like 40K salary, but they're going into work from like 8 a.m. And I'm like, in what world does that make sense? Like monetarily?
It's still like that.
Yeah. Okay. Cause I'm like, I just don't think that makes sense really. And I know that it's like good exposure at times, but also it's like you have to prepare yourself for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had an interview with this agency and then I did a test for 3 days, but I think it was fake. I think they wanted my work for free for a week. I'm not the only person to which this happened with the same agency. It's this very elite, fashion-y agency. Everything aligns, like plots of faking that you're gonna get in and use you for a week. And
because there I was working on client projects. There needs to be laws against that, in my opinion. Like,
what?
And there need laws against that.
But you have to sign an NDA, and like I was working on client projects, and of course they had big clients, and I fully produced for a week, and I was doing their hours, so I was like working at night, and I didn't even have a contract in my hands because I was hoping that at the end of this there would be a contract. Just recently, a friend of mine told me that her friend, it happened the same with the same agency. They had her working for a whole week, and she thought there was going to be a contract at the end, and then there's not. So I think there's definitely still some agencies that are like that. Definitely when I was applying, that salaries for people who are just starting are super low in the creative field. And I think it's going to be a good experience if I do it at some point and have the financial freedom to take a lower paying job, but get exposed to so many clients and new methods and people who have been in the industry for so long.
I have friends who are like doing PhDs right now, and I think they make 40,000 for like research or something. So I'm like, I don't think it's a horrible idea if you think of it as an educational experience.
Exactly.
People take that sort of deal to go back to school, so you get more portfolio projects.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I see it like an educational thing, like an internship.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing. What kind of projects are you working on now? Can you tell me about them a little?
Yeah, I have one retainer client, which is Benchen, and I've been working with founder that since I started freelancing. It's been a while, and it's always a different project. It's so fun. And that's what I love, to be involved with a business, because I came in to do graphic design, but it's ever evolving. And then she has a platform and community for women, and she teaches Kundalini. She has like monthly memberships for developing personal power, sensuality, vitality, and she leads this like meditation every day. It's a whole world, and it's so beautiful. I started practicing with her as well, and it has helped me so much with my business because she teaches those workshops. I feel like when you are an entrepreneur, it's also an internal journey. You have to sell yourself, you have to go through limiting beliefs, and you have to, or I don't know, there's so many thoughts when you become, you know, an entrepreneur that you have to go through, and like her, those steps that you have to get over. And I think a solid meditation practice, so like with her, I was able to like go through them way, it was way easier. But yeah, I'm working with her a lot, which I love because it's a blend of what I like and doing my work at the same time. And I also got a new client, which is in the acupuncture industry. Ooh. So I'm working with them. They're starting out. They're building a brand. Right now I'm working on their brand book and gathering a bit of images. I drew a new logo for them. We're still at the beginning. I find the palette for the brand. They didn't really have much. And that's what I love, is I keep attracting businesses in fields that I'm really interested in. It's so easy because I can resonate with what they're trying to communicate. Acupuncture is something that I do in the city, and that has helped me so much. Their goal is to make acupuncture part of everyone's healthcare, especially women, because there's so much about hormones that you can cure with acupuncture. It helped me so much. And it's so cool. I want to build a brand for them that it's very cool and that attracts people, so that people start getting to know acupuncture and start maybe integrating it. They work with insurance companies so that you can be covered. It's such a beautiful project. And for me, I love working on these kind of things. And so I'm really excited about this project and where it's going to go.
I love these projects with women's healthcare and wellness in mind. There's actually a ton of those I see lately, and that's fun for me. It's healing.
I just figured out the other day, I was like gathering my thoughts, and I was like, I've worked only with female founded businesses or queer clients. It's beautiful, right? Because I was about to get this client, which was 4 male founders, and I had this meeting and it felt so wrong. I was like, I don't think I want to get into this space. And I was like, I'm just going to say no. And I think it was the first time I was saying no. So it was hard as a freelancer to like be like, I'm going to reject the project. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was having like the first calls with the acupuncture girls. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with what feels best because I don't want to, I don't know.
It's hard to say no sometimes to projects, but it took me a really long time to learn this. Sometimes it saves you, actually. Like, if something feels off energetically, like, I don't know what it is, but there have been times where I've said yes to projects just for the money, and it ends up being a huge burden later on. I'm like, why did I say yes to this?
Yeah.
And then it's actually harder to get out later.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I feel like that's something that Luigi taught me. It's because he was doing a lot of client-facing roles, and she was like, you need to fire bad clients. Sometimes you just have to get rid of them because it takes too much effort and too much of your time to keep them on. And so at that point, you're better off creating space for something better.
Oh, yeah. It's better stuff will come into it. It starts costing you, basically.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I get to these points sometimes where I'm like, I think I want to make space for something else. I might be at that point with some of the projects in my life.
What are you working on right now?
Right now, I have this independent zine project with the mm-hmm. DAO I mentioned. It's all online right now. So what they want is to bring the experience into a print format. So I'm going to design the zine for them. And that is going to probably like a 2-month project. Mm-hmm. What else am I working on? So then I'm also at the independent studio. I've been doing a lot of zine projects lately, which is interesting.
Uh-huh.
And I used to make a lot of zines in 2016 just for fun. So I am personally trying to build out my work, specifically working with like podcasters, writers, other artists. And when you mentioned like making work for like websites for other artists and creatives earlier, that's something I've felt really passionate about because I've met a few artists recently who like they're so good at their practice, like whether that's like watercolor or sculpture, but they don't want to spend their time working on their website or e-commerce site. So I think that's something I'm going to try to build out more and see if I can at least get a few people on retainer and help them with their distribution. So that's something I'm planning out. And then other than that, there's a few things I do non-design related. I teach Legree, so I'm really into the fitness space.
Oh.
Yeah, and I've been loving the gym scene out here too because I meet so many women who are like running their own businesses or involved in real estate, or they just need design. And I think that's been a great way for me to slow down because for a while I was saying yes to like all sorts of projects. I worked at an AI startup for a little bit. And I think I just got so removed from my creative process and why I like designing in the first place. Doing things like my podcast and taking on small projects with other creatives, working at this studio a few days a week, it's perfect for me. Yeah. And then come the new year, we'll see what else is out there if something interesting will spark my attention.
I was so surprised to see how many people actually need design services, especially if they're starting out. They can't just call up an agency because agencies are so expensive.
They are. I think for a small agency, you have to put down at least $5,000 to $8,000. But for the website, it's probably going to cost you $10,000.
I never knew. And then when I started working, I realized that I had an audience for me and for what I was doing. It's like it's a completely different process. I think the benefit to work with a freelancer and how I sell myself is that you have this very close approach and I'm always there. You can call me up and we are meeting up in person and it's so collaborative. Like we can have many feedback sessions, and it's something that I feel like with an agency you're not really able to do as well. So there's like a benefit in pricing and owning more where the project is going, right? Which of course is not going to take out of like my creativity. And I feel like I'm always aligned with the client's wants.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that closeness that allows me to get very clear about their vision and bring it to life exactly how they saw it. Not exactly, but very close to what they saw it.
You have an intuition for that. And it sounds like you take on clients who you're pretty aligned with.
And I feel like maybe you can get that with an agency.
I feel like with an agency, I've talked to some friends too, where it's unfortunately, you do just have to do it sometimes. It's like, I don't necessarily agree with the creative direction or what the client's asking for. But if it's in your contract to do another revision, then you have to do it. Do you run up against that? Or have you?
Going in a bit of a different direction.
Unnecessary revisions. Because I've been seeing that a lot in the studio context where clients don't know how to manage their own feedback. Sometimes they'll ask everyone on their team.
That was such a learning lesson for me. You need to provide the structure because the clients are all over the place. Yeah. So that was learning the hard way for me. Now what I do is that I'm like, there's going to be two review rounds. There's the first one, which is check, but then it depends, of course, what type of assets I'm giving them. But the first one is first draft, get a review, we go over it. There's probably a solid amount of changes, or they maybe want to go to a slightly different direction or something. And then the second round, for me, the project is finished, but maybe there's a little twitch of something that needs to be fixed. So I give the second review round, is everything okay, done? Or, okay, maybe there's a missing piece. So that's my structure. When I'm working with a fashion brand right now, when it's a small business, they're more likely to accept what you do and want to be guided by you in the creative direction of the project. They trust you with your eye and your taste. That's why they hire you in the first place. And then working with a bigger firm like a fashion brand, there's a creative director, a marketing officer, an art director, the founder. And I never get to talk to the higher levels. I have my meetings with the marketing producer and the chief marketing officer. Whatever I produce goes to the founder and the creative director. There has been time where they're doing a brand refresh. I did like a new brand book for them. And I suggested for them to go into a more modern one font, a little bit bolder, instead of the classic serif font. Like, then I was like, let's do something cool and different, which was not going to be so different. But yes, we did this whole brand book, and chief marketing officer was like, wait, I actually like this. This is very cool. Let's go with it. A new chapter. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then the brand book went, and this was like a month we were working on this. Then the brand book, like second review, brand book goes to the creative director and they're like, oh no, we don't like it. And we went back to not square zero, like not where they were before, but it was like an in-between of what I suggested and what they were before. So that happens. And I'm like, yeah, I think the other idea was way cooler. You're the client. This is your brand. And I think I'm more here to do all the graphic design that they don't have the time to do. So sometimes you have to like let go, I think. And I'm so happy to work with them and I'm having such a fun time. And I think I'm just there to support with graphic design because they don't have someone in-house that can do that and they want to work with someone that gets it. So now I'm doing their Instagram templates, which every time I suggest something more creative than this industry standard, they're like, oh my God, what's that? And I'm like, okay, easy. Then they just want someone that knows a grid system and can put an image and text the right size. And that's great, you know, even easier.
I think it's nice to not have an ego with feedback. But I do have to say lately, I've noticed this trend of people really playing it safe with branding. Mm. And I think that might be an economic indicator. So many people just want to play it safe these days. The amount of clients who are like, oh, I just want navy blue and something that looks really simple. That's okay. We hired a branding agency regardless. They'll just give it to you.
Yeah, it's like their loss, right? I feel like there's so many brands that are setting the standard and then other brands want to be like that. I always ask my clients, what is your aspirational competitor and what is your aspirational aesthetic? What is the best aesthetic to you that you like? And there's like some brands that they get mentioned to me all the time. I'm like, I love how this brand does their social media. Boom. And I'm like, which is open, you know, the meditation app. They have a very cool Instagram, I agree. And everybody's, oh, I want an Instagram like theirs. And it's incredible because they are setting the standard and everybody's trying to do that. So I'm starting to think about that. How do I make sure that it works like the standard but make it unique? That's what I'm working on, because a lot of people are asking me for social media templates. So how did, because not, and everybody now is like used of having this kind of format of infographic templates and branded stories with all your fonts and colors. And so how can I make sure that I'm doing that, something that resonates with the current Instagram audience, right? They just want direct information, clear information, but also make it not like everybody else. And I still don't have an answer for that. Yeah. I hope I'm going to figure it out. But yeah, there's clear trends and I don't know the answer yet to, to how
I don't either.
To work with that.
There are times, like seasons in my life when I'm more tolerant to it and others where I'm like, I just don't want to do that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm probably in one of those seasons right now. But yeah, I think it's nice to just let it go. And I think what I've learned too is these are your clients' projects, and then what they pay you, you save up for your own, and then you do something fun and cool, and then you show them how it's done. And that's okay if they're two separate things.
Yeah. I think my goal as a creative is to get to a point where I get hired to do exactly what I do. Mm-hmm. I imagine one of the designers that I really love is David Carson, and he gets hired for exactly what he does, and that's the coolest thing.
Let me look up his work.
He's known because he worked a lot with surf magazines, and he didn't have a design background, and he started doing graphic design, and he just like consistently broke any possible rule that was there. And he works a lot with collage and defined the aesthetic of surfing and board culture in general, whether it is skateboarding, snowboarding.
So anti-grid, but I love it. It's like very loud and it works.
Yeah, and like people hire him. Now he's been doing this for I don't know how many years, but now he gets hired to do that. They're like, oh, like I want, he's more of an artist at this point. You're like commissioning him to do a piece for them, but signed David Carson and with his signature style. For me, that's like my ultimate goal, right? Someone is hiring you to do exactly what you do.
Exactly. I so relate to that. And I've been talking to my artist friends too. You have to build an audience for your work sometimes and do it enough to where people are like, that's exactly what I want. But it takes time. And for some people, it's faster than others. So I think building out space to be authentic, even if you're doing client projects, is so important.
Yeah. For me, that's a big value, right? It's like being true to what you're doing and what your values are. And I feel like that's in general for my own life and how I want to present myself. The creative environment is such a self-exploration.
It's not easy. It's so spiritual. And you have to keep finding a way to get back out there and ride the waves is how we describe it. Sometimes you're getting pummeled. So you're like, okay, crap. How do I get back up? Yeah, beautiful. All right, we have a few minutes left. Is there anything else you want to discuss today? I enjoy talking to you.
I have just one like question for you that I'm so curious. Like, how come did you move to Maui?
What's interesting is I was working remote at the time with a social media agency, so I could travel. I had a friend in college who I did a podcast episode with. Her name is Jane. That's not her actual name, but we were roommates. And we lived at this co-op together at Stanford called Synergy. She was really involved in the co-op scene in the Bay Area. And then she had this friend named Ton, who is a DJ she met at another co-op. Ton set up this house in Maui where she would DJ and we would throw parties. And that was really fun. It was actually this house where it was me, this other artist named Eva surfed too, and did a lot of these really gestural, massive paintings on plywood. Then there was another woman there named Jazz who would do these really cool drone ocean photographs. That was how it was for a few months. Then I met a boyfriend out there and staying for almost 3 years. I basically stayed there up until the fires happened and the culture changed a lot. But still amazing place. I still have friends there. And my friend Han, who first started the house, she's now in Ibiza. So she's really DJing now. She used to be in the tech scene in San Francisco. She's someone who really pursues her dreams too. After everything happened, the scene really changed in Maui. She's in Spain. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, it is. And I feel like that's how the past few years have been. It's okay if COVID's gonna happen. Like, you have to find ways to push your joy through an outlet. And so one of my outlets for joy was Maui. And I was like, it is great. Yeah, you just go with it.
No, I love that. I think Hawaii is one of the most beautiful places ever. And it's so I love beautiful. That you lived there for so long.
It's gorgeous. I met a lot of pro surfers. If you ever go, it's a cool place to meet people. A lot of travelers too. I would love to stay in touch with you. And yes. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was such a good conversation.
I love sharing with you, and I feel we've been through so many of the same things that it's so nice to bump ideas and see what other creatives think. Such a wonderful conversation.
Yeah, thank and it's you. All very real. All right, folks, that was our episode today. Again, I mentioned I will be traveling to New York at the end of March into early April. If you are friends who would like to hang out in New York during that time, please let me know. This trip is going to be pretty impromptu, but the goal is to freelance and network and find folks who want to work on design. I am pivoting more into my own work, and it's been kind of surprising to me that it's actually been over 10 years since I've been doing graphic design, but it has been, and now is the perfect moment to just take full ownership of what I like to do and go hard at it. There's really no perfect moment for it, and I think that's something I've had a hard time adjusting to, the fact that, you know, maybe there is like a good place to network and to find people to work with, but there's never really a great time to start. The best moment is always now. Prioritizing your dreams, your vision, and what feels right is always something that we have control over. Even if we're working with other people in an agency space or on our own. So this is just one of the ways that I'm trying to make it work at the moment. Again, you can follow my Substack, where I'm starting to write more personal posts online at Jules Pools. And you can always follow me on Instagram for more day-to-day updates at Jules.Pools. All right, thanks for listening, and love ya. Talk to you next time.